Welcome to the Killer Frogs. This is episode 117 for November 20th, 2018. And we got everybody on tonight. We're ready to discuss the win in Waco and the season finale against Oklahoma State on Saturday night. But before we begin, we want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. And hopefully, if you're listening to us on our normal time on Tuesday or Wednesday, you're getting your turkey prepared and your stuffing ready and your mashed potatoes mashed and your pumpkins pies in the oven. And hopefully you guys have a bunch of friends and family coming over, and we want to wish everybody from Killer Frog family to you, happy Thanksgiving.
Absolutely.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Is everybody staying in town?
Well, yeah, I'm headed. Matter of fact, I was packing. I was like, I'm glad we're keeping it short, so I'm getting ready to head to Arkansas. So
Arkansas? Oh, wow.
They're trying to get back for the game.
You're going to go pick up a pig just for the Thanksgiving dinner? Is that what you're doing?
Actually, I'm going to go shoot me some rabbit and some squirrel while I'm out there. So
There you go. You're going to be varmint hunting.
That works. Yes, indeed.
There you go. A little plinking out in the woods.
Down by Georgetown, maybe I can get that deer back in my backyard tomorrow.
Well, that was pretty.
I'd rather have that deer. That was a beautiful deer.
That was a nice deer. Was that the same one? That wasn't the same one you hit, right?
No. It was a brother, I think. They're both 8-point bucks. But this.
It's a family member stalking you. That's what it is. That's good. In case you guys didn't see it online, Wes posted a beautiful photo of a gorgeous deer who just so happened to be just tramping along in his backyard. So,
yeah,
there you go. So you had a deer in your backyard tonight, and I had my neighbor's King Charles Spaniel break into our backyard.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, and play with our and my kids thought it was so cute they let it into the house. And it was not a clean dog.
If you poke them right, they're pretty good eating.
Yeah. I don't want to go down that road. All right. Well, you know, this is going to be kind of a short podcast, but we definitely want to, because everyone's got holiday plans they got to get to, but we want to start off with the win against Baylor in Waco. Brings the TCU Horned Frogs one win away from bowl eligibility. And guys, anytime I mentioned this to Wes on the wrap up, but any season you beat Baylor is a good season.
Good season.
You bet it is.
Yes, indeed.
Well, I was proud of them. I mean, just with all the adversity we had, even Saturday, you know, I mean, that's one thing you say about Patterson's teams and about TCU. They don't quit. I mean, if there's any reason for a team to quit, lay down, to just go ahead and pack it in, Saturday was the day. But with all the injuries that we had right off the bat, you know, losing our quarterbacks, starting two running backs, you know, Summers went out again. And for them to play like they did and just hang in there, you know, it was an ugly win, but maybe that's one of the prettiest ugly wins I've seen in a long time.
I'd say it's a beautiful win. I mean, like you said, your starting quarterback goes down. You've lost your two running backs, your best ones. You know, I guess we were down on offensive linemen. I guess Cordell got hurt again, perhaps, but somebody was down. If ever there was a game that everybody could have buckled under and just said, I'll just phone this one in, it would have been this game. They rose to the occasion. Like Sean and I were talking about in the post-game wrap-up, Gary Patterson's teams will always play best when their backs are against the wall.
Yeah.
And nobody's backs were more against the wall than our backs were in that game on Saturday. And they, by gosh, those guys rose to the occasion and played like champs and won that thing. There was no question about it. Defense was magnificent. And offense did what it had to do.
Yep. And I thought, you know, from looking at the game on TV, and you guys did a great job at halftime and afterwards, by the way.
Thank you.
I think a lot of that, and you look at the game, and I was ecstatic. You know, it's like everything we've said that's, you know, we've given them, we reported what we felt, and, from, third game on, we just reported what we felt, and it is what it is. But Saturday, it didn't matter to me. All that stuff didn't matter. That game mattered. It was about that game. I hate Baylor with everything in me. And that was it. I promise you, I probably wouldn't have done this show because I just didn't want to talk about it. But I was like, after that game, it was everything to me. And I think with all that we have going on, I think it stems back planning that stadium, what, 3 years ago it was? Or
4 years ago.
Got 4 years ago. Listen, that's we haven't forgot about that. That was our game that them referee, that game got ripped out of our hands. And that left a bad taste in our mouths because at the time we were playing for something. And I just think Saturday with the injuries and everything we had, I think all that stuff still matters.
Yep. You know,
and we're just not going to let Baylor beat us. That's just what it is. If that's what we got, if that's our season, so be it. Yep. You know, next week's going to, we'll talk about that in a minute. That's going to, that had this, you know, that has its own challenges. But as of last Saturday, we beat Baylor for the, what, fourth time in a row or fifth time?
Fourth time in a row.
And it feels damn great. And I'm excited about it. I'm going to ride that all the way until next year.
Well, hey, you know what else will make you feel good? Is, I don't know if any of y'all have gone over to Sic'em Bears, but we did. Mike and I did. And
did you shower afterwards?
No. It was unbelievably good. Like, if you want to feel good, even better about your coaches and your team, go over to Sic'em Bears because they're actually sitting there telling, I mean, they're actually saying great things about Coach Patterson and the athletes and the defense because they hate him so much, but they're just like, you got to hand it to him. The guy's a genius. And, you know, just, I mean, it was just a complete meltdown over there about their own team. It was glorious. It's just glorious to go over there. I highly suggest you read some.
Like, you know, like Shannon said, this was Patterson's top game. We're about to be West. I mean, the back's against the wall. This is where they thrive. This is where he thrived.
Yeah.
Back's against the wall. We have no business. I told my wife after, I said, really and truly, we just had no business winning that game. With all the injuries we've already piled up, but with the amount of injuries we had in the first half of that game, we had no business. But I'll tell you what happened. A couple of things. One, our defense played awesome. Our best player on offense showed why he's the best player. He was the best player. He was the best player, period, on the field yesterday.
Oh, no doubt about that.
I mean, and Rager was something. He was unbelievable. You know, you know what? I probably was more proud of that game right there than I've been in a long time of the Frogs, just because they had everything going against them, and to come out with a win. You know, and I'm gonna tell you, Baylor's not a bad team.
No, Matt Rule's got them going in the right direction. And and he seems to be a pretty good up and up kind of a guy. I mean, as much as we all absolutely cannot stand about the institution and the organization behind the football team and all the things that they have done and continue to show that they have kind of swept under the rug when it comes to a lot of the things that have happened in that program. Rule is the exception to the rule over at Miller. Pardon the pun.
Well, pretty good guy.
Yeah, he is. And he's got them going in the right direction. And they're one win away. Or you know, kind of go back here real quick. If we kind of catalog all the things that were going against the Frogs going into Saturday, you know, on the Baylor side, you know, they felt pretty good about their offense. They've got a fantastic wide receiving core. Brewer, I don't care how many, you know, anybody who saw that game knows Brewer is one tough son of a gun. Mm-hmm. And it was senior day. They needed the win to go to a bowl game and kind of feel better about their program after having everything that did happen the last couple of years. There was a lot of things that were going in Baylor's direction. And then on the Frog side, you have all the injuries that we talked about, 30-plus injuries, pretty much the entire defensive backfield outside of Lewis. You had a dinged-up Summers that played, eventually got hurt in this game. So you're missing your starting linebackers. You're missing two guys on the defensive line, and we lost Cooper at the end of that game, and Johnson at the end of the game as well. Yeah. And then on the offensive side, you're missing your starting quarterback. You're playing your backup quarterback. Then your backup quarterback goes out, and your two starting running backs go out of the game. You're already missing Turpin, plus not one but two offensive linemen. I mean, this is like a MASH unit within a MASH unit within a MASH unit that we fielded on Saturday. And still, with all of that said and done, the defense played like a TCU defense. Probably one of the best defensive games of the year by the TCU defense. And I was just going to say, and to y'all's point about Rager, last thing I would say about that is that's a guy who put that team on his back with the mule coming in as well, and they played great.
Yep.
I was going to just say true meaning of next man up. I mean, that is a where we're at now. We were past, like, usually, you know, what, a couple weeks ago, it's like, okay, injuries, we got to deal with them. No. When you're down 35 plus, because my count was 30, now it's more than that.
Now you got 40, I think.
Yeah, you're up in 40s. You're up there. I mean, guys.
Half the team at this point.
And I would tell people, listen, mm-hmm. We're not about to make any excuses on here. I know we're not. That's not our demeanor, so it's not about that. But I would say, I tell you right now, Oklahoma's not Oklahoma or any of those top teams. They lose 40. Alabama's not even Alabama at the level you have to play if you lose 40 athletes. All starters, I mean, you're just not. And to be in a game like that, that just shows you some of the young guys that we have that will be players, the coaching staff, you know, Lee Rager and the defense, great job, outstanding job. Defense played defense. I was proud of the defense. It's one of those games where they battled with all the injuries and all the stuff that we could use as excuses if we don't. But listen, when you get up towards 40 people injured, well, hell, that's not an excuse. That's just fact.
That's reality.
It's hard to win, yet alone in an environment like Baylor and come out with that win. Like WC, we had no business winning that game, but we found a way to win a game that we needed to win just for the fact it's Baylor. But listen, if we didn't, how could you be mad when you know you got 40 people missing on the roster and then you're just basically trying to plug the holes?
Yeah.
You know? And so it's big ups to Coach P for that win and the team.
Yeah, apparently after the game, he was so worn out and excited, he just fell to his knees. And if I read the article correctly, the security guard started to come over to see if he's okay. And he said, no, I'm fine. And he just, you know, he had grinning from ear to ear. And, you know, and apparently in his press conference, I didn't go to it post game, but he was gushing about the effort and the players. And, you know, Gary is normally not a real exuberant person, but I think he was pretty darn exuberant after this game.
Yeah. And especially thinking about everything, losing both his mom and father and everything that he's been through. Just the
it's been a nightmare season,
I'm sure, at the end of that game. I mean, you know, he wanted to break down in tears. I know I did. It was a perfect Christmas present, you know, to everybody. So.
Absolutely. And then Pacific Patterson, he came with that tweet yesterday. You know, and you read it, you know, to those of you who have been spreading rumors of my recruits that I'm going to retire after this season, you're not that lucky. And so,
exactly.
Well played.
You know, the beautiful thing.
What's that, Doug?
He made next week relevant. They made next week relevant. Yeah, it's relevant.
Yep.
It's irrelevant. Now for all the fan base and for everybody, I'm excited. You know, now I'm all stoked about going to the game next week. How can you not be? I mean, you know, hey, maybe we'll get kicked. I don't know. Maybe the numbers game will finally catch up with us. But, you know, at least now we got a reason to be there. I mean, besides just being the last game of the season and saying bye to the seniors, it means something to the seniors, but it means something to everybody now.
And they really have something to play for. I mean, pride. I mean, it's I think, you know what, I wouldn't want to be Oklahoma State in this situation because I think we're going to come in there fired up like you haven't seen us in a long time.
Yeah.
Well, and isn't it true? I mean, Oklahoma State beat West Virginia, which was a big surprise to me anyway. So now they are bowl eligible. So they're not playing for a bowl this game. So
they're playing for just basically one extra win.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the pride. And that's
or a play spoiler in their particular case. Right. Mm-hmm. But hey, before we get on to Oklahoma State, I do have a couple of quick questions for you guys concerning the Baylor game. First one is Michael Collins goes out with an injury. We saw him on crutches on the sideline. Of course, we have no idea. And I'm sure after tomorrow's press conference, we still won't have any idea as far as whether or not he will even return for the Oklahoma State game. But the Mule comes into this game. You know, Grayson Muhlstein comes in and does probably the best Andy Dalton impersonation of a TCU quarterback in a decade. Okay.
Right.
And absolutely does a great job managing the game. Runs when he needs to run, throws the ball when he needs to throw the ball. Good accuracy. Shows us something that we hadn't seen from him in all these years, because he hasn't had an opportunity to kind of rise to that particular occasion. And does a fantastic job. So my question is to you guys, if you had an option between Muhlstein at 100% and Collins at 80%, who do you want starting this game against Oklahoma State?
Ooh, well, that's a tough one. I think.
I guess it depends on how practice goes this week. You know, is
Muhlstein's a really good runner. I think the knock on him all along has been his passing. I'm not sure he's as good a passer as Collins, but he was good enough on Saturday. And if he's that good on this Saturday, I think we'll be fine.
All right, let me throw another wrinkle in there.
All right.
Without Anderson and Shewo, wouldn't you rather have Muhlstein in there as an extra runner to back up De Mercado?
Oh, well, I don't know. I think I might beat him up as a running back, but –
Yeah, no, I was going to say, with both running backs out, listen, and if we can jump to next week, and I know the excitement from Baylor, I was going to keep that there, but listen, if I'm just being not biased, if I got to talk real football talk, guys, it's going to be a game, and we hope that with the enthusiasm and all that stuff will carry over, but we have our hands full. I've enjoyed, and I hate to say, watching Oklahoma for the last 2 weeks. And these guys are they're at the level. I mean, they've got it going at the right time. And when we got so many hurt, I mean, it's just it's gonna be a task. I'm not gonna sit up here and lie to you. And you know, again, my record's blown out of control. I never saw this game coming or our season going down this route. And again, I told you I had us losing two, but at the back end of it, four games. But I wasn't thinking about having 40 plus injuries either. So it's just one of those games where obviously senior day, we're going to play for a lot. I think it'll be a good first half. I guess I'll get back. I won't go that far down the road, Sean. I would like to see the run. Listen, we didn't have negative 7 yards. We actually had a decent day running the ball with both running backs.
161 yards. That's what I liked about it.
Exactly. So we took the ball out of the air. We put it on the ground. And I guess our O-line, they said, hey, we got to protect these guys. We got to run the ball, average 5 yards a pop. And I enjoyed that. I mean, now since I went off on negative seven yards last week, this year they had a great rushing attack, but we knew it's because the mule couldn't really, they didn't trust his arm, or they didn't want to give him that many opportunities to try to open it up. So without those two running backs, I mean, listen, with Collier and 80% of him throwing the ball, we have to take that. If you give me the running backs in, the starters with the mule, I'm taking that option. But if I don't have the two running backs as an option, we've got to go to the air with it.
Yeah. But you know what? You don't have a good running attack unless you got a good line player on the way. And our line did a great job.
Yeah.
You know, I rarely ever praise an offensive lineman, as you know, WC. I'm kidding, buddy. But no, I mean, they did a good job. They did a good. It's the linebackers who deserve all the credit here. So I'm trying to spread that around. No, seriously, our offensive line. I think they played one of their better games of the season.
Sure.
Yeah, there's definitely room for improvement, though. But, I mean, they did play probably one of their better games of the season.
I'm 50-50. You know what? Because I can see Shannon's side. I can see the other side. You know, 100% guys help you run a little bit. It depends on – he didn't throw terrible the other day. I mean, he didn't throw a lot, you know. I don't know, boy.
It's a whole different crew, WC, coming in. At Oklahoma, I mean, it's a whole different ball game right now, brother.
It's a different defense.
Yeah.
So, hey, y'all, I got a question, though. Like, so if our defense comes out there and plays, which they will, they'll play their hearts out and they'll do their job, and we come in with the mule, I guess there's a little bit of film on him from, well, there's three quarters, basically, of film on him from the last game, but how much will Cumby and the coaches change up the game plan and surprise OSU, but maybe where we kind of can get lucky with some of the, I guess, the game scheme in that it's different than what they've seen all year?
They didn't change the plan for anybody. I don't think they changed it that much for Colin. I just don't
see
it. I mean, and I'm going to tell you, our defense played great. We're going to have to score some points.
Yeah. You don't switch up he's been getting the backup snaps anyway, so he knows mentally that he hadn't had a chance with what, three quarters, as you said, Ryan. But mm-hmm. it's going to happen. I feel they saw the film, they'll see the film, and they're going to see he's not throwing the ball. They're going to crowd the line of scrimmage. They're going to make him throw the ball, which forces him to throw either good ball or picks. That would be the game plan if I was a DC. I'd come in, I'd stack the box to shut down the run, knowing that they almost had 200 yards rushing. I'd make this quarterback throw the ball, knowing that he has less than 10 times Saturday probably, and all year long.
Now, he threw the ball 15 times. I think it was 11 for 15 for 100 and something yards.
Got you. Yeah. So 15 what throws all year.
What was his longest pass?
The one to Rager.
Yeah, I'm about to say the
Madden, yeah. You know, LRR2 circle square triangle XXX awesome. Square circle run that Rager had. I have no idea. I don't know how he did that. I really have no idea how he pulled that one off, but that was the most beautiful thing I've seen all season.
They got smart enough to get the ball in Rager's hands.
Yeah.
Now, you're going to have to try to do it again on Saturday. You're going to have to be creative and try to put the ball in his hands. But, you know, I don't know. I might go the other way, Shimon. I don't know if there's a right or wrong, but I don't know. I might go with Grayson just because of the mobility part of it.
Well, I'm going to say for three reasons, I would agree. Go with the mule on Saturday. Number one, he's obviously got the momentum coming off of that win on Saturday. But moreover than that, he didn't show me anything on Saturday that made me think that this is a guy who's been riding the bench for, what, 4 or 5 years at TCU? And he's not just the backup quarterback. He's the backup quarterback. I mean,
yeah.
But he came in, and his accuracy wasn't bad. You don't have to throw, you know, 40-yard passes with him in the game. He was very accurate, and he made really good decisions on passes mm-hmm. within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage. And sure. When you've got Hunt ready to play, Barber ready to play, Rager ready to play, he doesn't have to be deadly accurate. He just has to make right. – he has to do another Andy Dalton impersonation, right? And not mm-hmm. the bad Andy, the good Andy. And he's got to be able to just manage the game and throw the passes where it needs to be. And I think with Dave Mercado in and the fact that they have to account for him as a runner – that would be my second point, is that with a healthy mule as opposed to a possibly injured Collins, that extra little, you know, wrinkle that he adds to the running game will have to keep those linebackers honest, which means that gives Barber and Hunt the opportunity to kind of hammer the middle of the field and will open up some stuff. And the third thing is, this guy, you don't have to change anything with the game plan. He knows the game plan. He's been around this game plan for years. So he knows this stuff going into it. So there's not a whole lot you have to do as far as getting things ready or dumbing down the offense for Mulstein to come mm-hmm. in and actually be able to run.
Well, to that point, and opposite side of that, you let it fly now. Even with all that being said, shit, we don't have nothing to lose. You let it fly. You go in there, you do what you got to do to win the game. So if I'm not worrying about what Oklahoma, you know, from a defensive standpoint, that's what I do looking in. But from a TCU standpoint, I'd come in and open it up and just say, hey, let it fly, because it's your last game of the year. You got to stick to the game plan. But now they've got – I mean, he'll get a week of practice in to throw and do all things he needs to do. And they'll dummy it down for him just a little bit, but you still have a few weapons. Like you said, if the defense is going to play like it played Saturday and try to give him time to do what he needs to do to get going, or at least try to hold Oklahoma, which will be a task, but we could at least play this game and let it be a fourth quarter game, and then we'll see what happens in the end. But if you're TCU's offense, you let it fly, brother. Let it go. You have nothing to lose.
I think he's going to go one of two ways, because, you know, it's funny. You look at quarterbacks, especially backup quarterbacks, and then they come in and, you know, they come in the fire and they look great, and then they have a week to prepare. Sometimes that's not the best thing in the world. But now they have a chance to think about it. They have a chance to blah, 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 this, that. But I'm with Shannon. You know what? I tell him, you know what? This last game of the year, we ain't got nothing to lose. Let's have a good time.
Let's go.
Go out there and let's relax. And let's play playground football. That's what I'd be on.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah,
that's right.
Rather than him be thinking about it too much, because I don't know. I mean, I don't know Grayson, and I don't know how he'll react, but, you know, a lot of kids, you know, they come in there in that situation and you go, hey, why ain't that kid starting? You see how great he is? I mean, well, he came in because he got thrown in and he didn't think about it. Then the next week when he prepares, you go, oh, that's why he's second team. I mean, I hope he's not mad. I hope Tracy's not like that. I hope he gets out there and he balls and throw the ball around and it looks great and everything else. But you know what? We ain't going to know until Saturday.
Well, he's actually in a good situation if you ask me. What are they going to do? Bench him?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, exactly. Go have fun. Play. You're going to make mistakes. We know it, but it's your game. You're going to play the whole game, you know, and it's the last game. So it's like, hey, just go have fun.
Well not only is it possibly the last game of the season, but it is his last game as a Horned Frog.
Yeah, right, his game is the last. Yeah, yeah. We win.
So we don't win. This is the end for the seniors.
Sure,
and
sure.
It's the end for him as well. So I mean, yeah, why not? Right? Yeah. You got nothing to lose.
Going around, that's what I hope we do. I'm with Shannon. I hope we all of a sudden decide, you know, let's go out, let's throw the deep ball, let's do this, let's try to get down the middle, let's burn, let's go for it, let's
chunk that ball.
I sit back and not go for it, and lose by 10 points, and say, well, crap, we never went for it. I hope we go. I hope we go for it. I'd rather go for it and lose big than not go for it and lose just at the end like that.
No guts, no glory.
Yeah.
I give my chance to win.
Well, speaking of glory, my other question for you guys was, did you guys get a chance to see all the 61-58 signs at the Baylor game this past weekend and how Baylor seems to be wanting to hold on to their glory days of football by continually bringing up a game that was 4 years ago.
They're going to have to keep holding on to that because they're not going to get much more than the next couple of years. You know, yeah, I saw those signs. And, you know, it's like one article said, that's we're putting that in our rearview mirror and moved on. And that's evidenced by, what, 5 consecutive victories over them?
Yeah, 4. But, I mean, I don't know if that's a present tense kind of a action for Horned Frog fans. I think that was in our rearview mirror after we got selected to go to the Peach Bowl.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I would say this from that standpoint. I didn't really pay attention from watching it on TV, but here's where you have to be careful and as a fan, and then, you know, obviously fan, that stuff's fun, whatever, but here's the deal. This is what they're not looking at when they make those signs. We have 40-plus people injured. I don't know. I'm not sure at this point how many seniors we're losing, but here is the positive side from injury. Those guys rehab and getting better. Yeah. And everybody's coming back next year plus some, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's the reloading season. You can call it what you want, but that now you got a reloading season. And that's all you hear about from this point forward with off season, spring, tour day. That's all these guys gonna be coached at, injury and take care of your body. And we didn't, you know, because of last year, that all carries into next year. And guess what, old Baylor fans? You're coming to our place next year. So it's gonna be the fifth game, because you have to deal with that. And trust you me, when you get us on the upside of our bad seasons, they need to do their history. We've done really good, and we've blown people out. So, you know, it's going to get fun.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that? It's the whole generation thing. You know, all of us on the phone tonight, we didn't have very many good seasons back when we were in school. And then, of course, you know, there's a lot of people on killerfrogs.com who get on there and they've never experienced a bad season, and you can immediately tell who those posters are. It's the same with when you go over to, you know, Sikkim Bears, what I was talking about earlier. You know, you can tell the ones that are like us that are on the forum saying, God, they recognize. They're like, we just got beat by a completely decimated Horned Frog football team, and they just beat us. Like, somehow Gary Patterson still got these third and fourth string guys of defense to play a heck of a game, you know, and so the alumni recognize that. It's these students that were there, you know, and haven't really had they have this last year, but you know, they haven't been there long enough to experience the awful years that Baylor had, but now they're and they may never, you know. It seems like Baylor's actually coming back, and Matt Rhule, like we were saying earlier, is going to make them at least a force to be reckoned with, probably much like Tech, you know, where they can ruin your season, but they're never going to win the conference with one of those teams. But yeah, it's definitely interesting. That student body can sometimes rival the Texas Tech student body.
See, what I love is just to be able to go, hey, y'all played hard.
A for effort.
You know, what? It was a hard-fought game and blah, blah, blah. You know, just, you know, then they go, well, y'all were beat. Well, yeah, but hey, y'all played hard. That's how you get them. That's how you do that right there.
Yep. That's sticking a knife right in their front.
Anything terrible. Did they play hard? I think they tried to play hard.
Oh, well, they did. They did.
Good effort.
Yeah. About the only thing you can say about that is kind of wrap up with a bless your heart.
Yeah.
Bless their little hearts.
Yeah.
Bless your heart.
No, but on that game, and the last thing I'll say about the Baylor game is that the one thing that kind of, looking back at it, and maybe you guys could tell me if you kind of shared the same feeling, but even after Collins went out, the way the defense was playing, it was kind of like TCU football in past years, where I wasn't really worried about the game. It wasn't where I had this feeling in the pit of my stomach, like, oh man, just one mistake and we're screwed. And this can all go downhill any second now. I kind of still felt the way the defense was coming at it, the way Banigou won Defensive Player of the Week in the Big 12 for his effort. Fantastic job. Collier got called on by the Players Association and the NFL to go to their big thing. I mean, that defensive line played lights out. And not only that, but the defensive backfield was unbelievable at stopping those Baylor wide receivers. But the way that we were playing defense, I didn't feel like the game was in any question or any doubt. I thought, we're going to win this game.
And you know what? Speaking defensively, one guy this nobody's really talked about, but I thought he played one hell of a game, and that's Juwan Johnson.
Yeah.
I mean, he was all over that field, and that son of a gun is fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a prototypical Gary Patterson linebacker. Fast, agile, tackles good. I mean, he probably won't get All-American. In fact, I don't know. Will he be here next year, or is he a one-and-done type of guy? But
One and done.
Yep.
Well, but, you know, I'm glad we have him this year because he came in really handy and played a heck of a game.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah,
he did. Yep. And so we got one more game left on the season. So let's talk a little bit about what we expect out of the Oklahoma State game. We already talked about the quarterback position, but defensively, guys, Oklahoma State is still a very dangerous team. And again, going into this final week, it looked like there was a possibility of having four teams on the bubble for a bowl game. Of course, us and Baylor. Tech was the other one. Of course, they lost, so they're still looking for a win. And of course, they're facing off against Baylor next week. In Jerry's world. Mm. So that'll definitely be a battle for one of those teams going to go to the bowl. The other one's going to stay home. But then Oklahoma State pulls up this major upset against number 9 West Virginia. This is an offense that is very explosive, as most Mike Gundy offenses are. How do you think our defense is going to be able to stack up against this Oklahoma State offense?
Well, personally, I think this is what my hope is. My hope is that Oklahoma they played a hell of a game against West Virginia. They played two great games in the last 2 weeks, but I'm hoping that these guys take us as being beat up, take us as whatever, you know, take us off being at the house. This could be a trap game for them because we know what kind of effort we're going to give. We understand that no matter who's on the football field, they're going to put effort, passion, and they're going to fly around. They're going to play frog football. With that being said, I'm hoping that's with Oklahoma coming here because I just feel like if they can come in here and we catch them sleeping, we can hit them with a left hook and knock them out. But, you know, because we have something to play for. And listen, one thing about it, when you're playing as a team and as a family and playing for seniors and passion, and it's just going to be that type of environment. I think everything will come to a head emotionally because what we've all been through this season. And I think it could be a trap game for those guys if they're not prepared to come in here and face an injured, bruised up, passionate frog football team. So, listen, if they come to play, we're going to give them everything we got. If I had to call it, you know, the offense, they're going to put up some points. We know that. I just hope it's one of those days where they don't put up as many as they've been putting up the last 2 weeks. I'll say it like that.
Dubber, how do you think the offensive line's going to react after having a game like they did on Saturday? You think that gave them enough confidence to be able to go up against this talented Oklahoma State defensive line?
I hope so. I hope they build on it. I mean, I thought they like you said, I think it was one of the better games they played all year long. I thought we were pretty basic in our play call and this and that. I hope we kind of call the same type of game as we did against Baylor.
Do you think that benefited the offensive line, kind of making more of a basic game plan?
Yeah, I think that helped us a lot. I mean, you know, some of the mistakes I've seen in the past week, and that's what's probably frustrating, is not the physical part as much as it's the mental part. I mean, right. You know, when the guy's in your outside shoulder and you step with your inside foot, you're screwed right off the bat.
Yep.
Before it even gets started, you're screwed. And I mean, I've seen that over and over again and stuff like that, a little mental errors. And so I'm hoping that, we kind of cut out on mental errors. But I like being basic. I like it. You know what? I can't think of his name, 21, the running back.
Dan Mercado.
He ran hard. He ran good. I mean, he let's – I think if we're smart, we'll run the ball. We'll make an ugly football game. I mean, that's what we need to do. We need to make it a ugly 3 yards, a cloud of dust, the old saying there, and try to have some long drives, and then, you know, hope the defense can continue to play like they played last week. I don't think we want to be in a shootout.
No.
I mean, I don't think we want to be in that. So I keep it basic. I run the ball, throw it when I have to. I try to figure out creative ways to get Rager the ball. But, I don't see how as an offensive line you can't feel good about last week and hopefully grow on it this week.
Yeah.
Baylor's not a bad football team.
No, they're not.
They're not?
They're not.
No, they've given a lot of people some fits this season.
Yep.
The teams that we didn't give fits to. They've been really good, especially offensively. They've been able to kind of handle the shootout kind of mentality,
yep.
and we kept them to under 10 points. So yep. I mean, that's, you know, TCU football. Wes, one of the things that you've talked about in the past when it comes to this particular team is that, you know, they haven't really kind of gelled from week to week. Like, you haven't seen progress over the course of the season. Like, you know, I think the line you said last week was, you know, by the time you're getting into the 11th game of the season, you're hoping to see progress and you're not seeing that. But we saw a lot. We saw some interesting things, as Dubber said, that were kind of give us a little bit of confidence or that we can build on into this week.
Right.
But one of the things that was impressive last week was time of possession.
Top of this, we had them down by, 9 minutes? The 34 minutes to 27,
I think. 25, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we haven't done that. And, you know, hey, that's – you're not going to possess the ball if that, unless your line is doing have an effect against the other team there. And we – you know, I take back what I said about the offensive line. They did mesh together. It took them 11 games to get there. But, you know, they played as a unit. And obviously so. And, you know, you control the ball for that, 34 minutes. That's pretty darn good. And now my worry is this week we're down to Dave Marcotto as a running back. Who backs him up? God help us if he goes down. But
I don't know. I mean, was it Hunt who used to play running back at one point in time?
Yeah.
I think it was Hunt.
Yep.
I think Hunt did. So I think you got Hunt as a possible backup to Dave Mercado, who's the backup. You basically got the third string running back, the third string, possibly fourth string quarterback. We don't have Turpin, but I think offensively wise, if that line can kind of build on what they did against Baylor with Hunt, Barber, Rager, Stewart, a couple of other guys that we have in there, Dave Mercado, and then of course, if you're going to use Muhlstein with his running capability, I think that's going to give Ohio State some fits, at least to prepare for here.
Oh, God.
I thought I said Oklahoma State. Sorry. We did give Ohio State some fits for about 3 minutes.
We did that.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry about that.
No, sorry. We're ready for them now.
Mea culpa, Oklahoma State.
It'll be interesting to see who our backup running back is. I mean, because back in the day, you could take a running back, you'd ride him all the game. It seems like now, you know, you got to have a couple of backs that are always rotating in and out, in and out, in and out. And this, even at this point in time of the season, I wouldn't think he he's ready for a 20-30 ball carry game, you know, just because he's not physically, he hadn't been doing it, you know. And so, or maybe it works in our favor. Maybe because he hadn't played that much, he's fresh, you know, and he's got fresh legs. And maybe he'll be able to carry the ball a little bit more, you know, more. But I think that's what you do. You line up, you hope your offensive line does it. If you know what? I think if you look back at our time of possession, anytime we have time of possession, we're pretty good. You end up winning a lot of ball games if you control the ball.
Well, four of our five wins this season was in games that we controlled the clock.
Yep, no doubt. No doubt.
Well, so what that
one important piece of information, we actually threw balls to a tight end this past weekend.
Twice. Yep. Not once, twice. And a tight end actually caught a kickoff return.
And I understand he's not going to be able to play this week because if he might lose his red shirt because this would be his fourth game if he plays it. So,
well, is this his fourth game or has he already played four games?
I don't know.
Okay, because he can play four games and not lose your red shirt.
I'd have to go back and look at all the substitution charts and everything.
Hopefully not, because he looked really good.
Yeah,
and it was nice to see a tight end. In the mix.
Yeah, very nice.
Yeah. But not only that, one other thing we didn't talk about, we'd have to give props to the defense on this, but we were also +3 on turnovers on Saturday, and that was a first time this entire season.
Yeah.
And a bunch of
that's why we won right there. You want to know why we won? Our defense was not only playing well, but when you're +3 in turnovers, I mean, you know, just think about it. We don't get the one down there, they score, they at least get a field goal. You know what I mean? +3 was huge. I mean, you know, I mean, there's no way to say it. So they had a chance of winning the game, and sheesh.
Yeah.
They were unbelievable on that.
Well, you can also almost say it was four turnovers because you had that 4th-and-3. Where was it Johnson that came in and made that huge sack on a 4th-and-3 and forced turnover on downs there? So, yeah, defense played lights out. And I think they've got to do the same thing against Oklahoma State
because
you can't go even on the turnovers. You have to force something here. The defense has to play not only lights out, but they've got to create some opportunities for the offense.
Yep. And you know what? I loved it this weekend that Charlie Brewer got banagooed a couple of times, and we're gonna have to banagoo the OSU quarterback a couple of times this weekend. But he played like a first rounder, and I really love seeing that.
Well, again, we're gonna have to good points. Defense is going to have to win this game for us with turnovers. We've got to create turnovers. We cannot. I mean, I wouldn't snap. It was kind of killing me because I don't know what was going on or how it's happened. But which we have to do this weekend. But bring that play clock down all the way to, you know, two seconds somewhere and snap the ball. Because we cannot. The clock is going to be our best friend. We've got to milk that thing every quarter because this is just one of those offenses. If they get in rhythm, we cannot score with them. And how you get them out of rhythm is playing good defense and not giving them keep them on the sideline, keep them out of rhythm. And so that's what's going to need to happen if we have a chance to win these games, being that we're beat up. So it's going to be interesting, the game plan. I would think that we shouldn't see any of the quick hurry up crap. I would think we wouldn't see any of the east to west. We may get our wish, Wes. We're not going to see any of the east to west throwing because of the situation. So I think we keep it north and south. I think we control the game clock, and the defense has to play well and create turnovers, and I think we'll have a great opportunity to beat these guys.
I'm with you, brother.
Let me ask a question. The linebacker.
Hey, Deborah, you broke up. Can you say that one more time?
Did Johnson get banged up at the end of the game?
Johnson got dinged up. Yeah.
Yeah. So Shannon, did you watch the Ben Wilson come in and play any? I mean, did
I watched the whole game? Yeah.
I mean,
he was in there. I
don't know how you know, he's a one of our 4-star recruits. I mean, that's a freshman. And I know they've already burned his red shirt.
Right.
You know, from Washington. I just kind of curious on, I figured Shannon was watching, maybe y'all watch, but I just kind of figured, I was wondering kind of how you felt like he played.
I felt like, listen, I could, as they get to rotate, I think he's a very instinctive player. He's just one of those guys right now. I mean, they're young, but flying around, going to give you everything they got. I wasn't disappointed at the linebacker spot whatsoever. I know we got out of rhythm there for a second on a couple drives, but that was the whole defense. That wasn't linebacker. We didn't get any pressure, and some things broke down for a couple series there. But besides that, I felt like when the defense was on the field all across the board, that we had the game. We were going to win that game. Like I was not worried come third, fourth quarter about the defense. So all in all, I thought they played good. I wasn't keyed in at the linebacker position, but there was no bust. I didn't see any bust, that I can remember anyway, right up the middle to where missed tackles, anything like that. Matter of fact, I didn't see very many missed tackles, guys. And usually every week, that's what I'm harping on. And no, so I never really even saw a bad tackle. I had to really think back on it if I did, but they were just playing as a unit, Saturday. And I just loved it. It was a great defensive day.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
I tell you, from a defensive standpoint, I like having Wilson in the game. As I agree, I think he's very instinctive. I hope Johnson is well enough to be able to play in this game as well, because we know Ty Summers is probably not going to return.
Yeah, right.
And which is a shame, because that guy has done an amazing job for this team over the years. Yeah. But the one thing that I do like seeing is that Wallow, who's come in and played linebacker, they moved into strong safety in this game. Mm. And that was huge. He is kind of that big kind of Nick Orr.
Yes.
Remember White?
Yes.
He's the guy that you do not want to try to catch a pass over the middle of the field, because if you know he's going to just absolutely just hammer you when you catch that ball.
He's the guy I saw hitting. He's the guy that I saw him hitting.
Yeah. I'm hoping as they move Ben White, he's a young guy. He's 4-star. He's a big inside linebacker. I mean, I feel like having a big physical presence, and I'd like to be able to take Wallow and, like I said, have a bigger secondary back there.
Yep. So he's fast enough to play that position. He absolutely is.
Yeah, it was Ben's first substantial amount of playing time at linebacker. So, I thought he did pretty good. I mean, just for the first time out, of course he made some rookie mistakes and stuff like that. But you know what? When it comes down to it, it's going to come down to Badagoo, Gladney. There's a handful of guys that's going to have to step up. Like last week, Badagoo, it's the first time I've seen all year that I thought they can't block him.
Nope.
It doesn't matter what they do, they can't block him.
Yep.
If they put one guy on him, two guys on him, if he was twisted, it just didn't matter. That's the guy that I was hoping I'd see all year long, and he's had little spurts of it, but nothing like the whole game like he had Saturday.
WC, right. I'm telling you, we missed a treat this year, and I hate it, but we missed Blaylock and Badagoo playing together. We missed a treat, because I'm telling you right now, there would have been no way in hell people would have been able to stop either one of those guys one-on-one. Yeah. It just wouldn't have happened. Yeah. You would have had to double team one of them, not both, and they would open up holes for other people. And we missed that tree, and I hate it, because that was what we wanted to see. And unfortunately, due to injury, we won't be able to see it, because Atlanta's going to go on and have do his thing on the next level. But we just missed that treat, and that's some of the stuff we saw Saturday from Bannigan. We would have been seeing that all year long had Blaylock in there.
Yep.
I don't know what Baylor's thinking. All of a sudden, they thought, everybody's been double-teaming Bannigan all year long, and that's, of course, that hurts your stats, this and that, blah, blah, blah. When you get chipped every play, every pass play, you're getting hammered. At first, they were like, oh, well, we got an offensive tackle to block him. Well, they're idiots. I was appreciating the idiots. Badagoo looked every bit of the All-American I think he is, and a little bit more on Saturday.
Amen. Yeah, we definitely need that this Saturday. So let's wrap this up, and let's talk score predictions in this game. And, Wes, let's start with you.
Oh, man, this is going to be a tough one, but I'm not going to go against my frog. So I'm going to say Oklahoma State 28, TCU. No, wait. Take that. Erase that. TCU 28, Oklahoma State 24.
Okay. All right. Shannon?
This is what it's got to stay low for us to have a chance to win. So. I'm going to go, I'm like you, Wes, given the circumstances, listen, I'm a frog through and through. And I believe if I believe what could be true with Oklahoma coming in and taking us for granted, we have a chance to beat them. So I'm going to go 27-24 TCU.
There you go.
27-24. Okay. Dubber?
I'm going to go 27-20. I'm going to go with that one again. 27 Frogs, 20 Oklahoma State.
All right, 7-point win. Ryan, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here. Gosh, see, I just think it needs to be a very, very low-scoring game for us to to win. So I'm going to say our defense has to hold OSU. Oh. All right. I really want to go even lower than that, but I'm going to get, I'm going to go with my gut, what my gut told me. OSU 10, and then TCU,
13.
There you go.
13-10. All right.
There you go. It's a win. It could happen.
Yeah. All right. Let me tell you, if it's 13-10, I'll come back next week. I will be one happy camper.
Oh, yeah, we all will. We all will.
No doubt about it.
I'm thinking low two for Oklahoma State. I'm thinking 17 points for Oklahoma State, but I think we score 35.
Wow.
What? Oh, I hope so. That'd be fun.
I get it, but whew, brother.
Yeah. Here's where I'm getting two extra touchdowns. Rager, kickoff return. Mm-hmm. And defensive score.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was expecting a defense score last week, but they had three turnovers, so I gave
them. There you go. Yeah. We were close.
Yeah.
I was close anyway.
Pretty good return, too, on that interception last week, so that was good. Well, with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. Again, we want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. And, of course, you can go ahead and follow the Frogs on KillerFrogs.com. Also, get all your TCU news on FrogsWire.com. Killer Frogs is on all the major social media networks. And, of course, you can find the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. Pretty much everywhere podcasts are found. And with that, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's time we all get the Frogs up, and we get to say...
Go Frogs!
Go Frogs! Let's beat Oklahoma State, and let's go to a bowl game.
Yes.
Seniors deserve it.